Continue this week with our theme, our series, carrying us through the fall, looking at these doors that open God to us and open us to God, being peered through the door of praise. Best way to spread Christian cheer is to sing loud for all to hear. Looking at that door of prayer, how we can align our lives more closely with God, and for God to align God's self more closely with us in prayer. Each of these will start with P. I've had some who've spent their weeks speculating on what the next P word will be, which door will open. And today is the door of presence, something that we acknowledge when we come to God's table, a sense of God's presence with us at the table. The first service, when we gave Jonathan his Bible, as Sally was expressing the gift that was being given and the stories and what an honor it was, Jonathan, she also said, "Do you see this big Bible up here, Jonathan?" He said, "Yes." She said, "This one's yours too." And he said, "Really?" She said, "It's all of ours. Put your hand on it." He put his hand on it and he caressed the words and the bookmark and the pages. And I thought, there's a reason why Jesus said, "Let the little ones come unto me." How many of us have that same sense of awe with God's word being given to us, as he expressed? My own daughter, her favorite Sundays are what she calls bread Sundays. And I have to hope and pray that it's more than just a snack offered in the midst of worship. But there's something that children are open to that we, as we grow, perhaps close the doors too much. A mystery of God showing up to us in word, in sacrament, as we're gathered together. Let us pray. Lord God, may the meditations of my heart and mind and the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. May we hear your word afresh. May it inspire us anew. In Christ's name, amen. Today is one of my favorite days as a clergy person, a day where we lift up something in common across the world and partake together in a common meal that unites us. The form and vehicle may differ depending on place and tradition, the bread or the content of the cup and what they are placed on or upon, but the foundation remains the same. Whether it's here in Amherst at Christ Church, or whether it's Uganda, or in Seoul, South Korea, or Sao Paulo, Brazil, the same. And yes, there are little theological differences that come up as well, transubstantiation, consubstantiation, things that we explore educationally. But ultimately, there is more similarity than difference. We all celebrate that God shows up in the meal. The formula is among the oldest in the Christian tradition, its first recording being those words that we heard from Paul in his correspondence with the church in Corinth. He says there is something that he had received from the Lord and handed on to them. And the formula he records, the night which he gave himself up for us, this happened. We have recorded in other gospel accounts of the Last Supper. It's an exclamation, an explanation of the presence of Christ in bread and in cup. If we read a little before and a little after the passage we heard from 1 Corinthians, we can see that things are not going so well around the table when folks gathered. And so Paul is trying to remind them of what's central and who's central in this table fellowship. Some folks were arriving so hungry that they ate all the food before anybody else could get to the table. Other folks think certain things should happen at the table, and Paul reminds them of what's supposed to happen, what's really central. John's gospel is the only one that doesn't share this same specific formula of what happened on the night that he was betrayed, but it has it embodied in a different way as Christ bent down at the supper and washed the disciples' feet. That in a life of service, in a life given as sustenance to others, in a life poured out in love for others, we proclaim God's love. And as John's gospel goes on and Paul reminds in the words surrounding the cup, this is the new covenant, that we love one another as we are loved in Christ. Do this in remembrance of me. This, it's by this that others know the followers of Christ. And by this, Christ's presence is known. Where two or three are gathered, the bread of life is shared. But there is a truth in the presence of Christ in our ritual as well. We begin in the great Thanksgiving by proclaiming God's presence throughout history and God's journey with the Israelite and Hebrew people and in creation itself. Then we recall the events of Christ's life. And we ultimately then seek to be united with them in the present by the Holy Spirit through the words of the ritual. But that presence to truly receive the cup of the new covenant and to receive the real presence of Christ in our lives, that comes by faith. God's grace is open to us, is open to all through that door. Through the door of faith, the presence of Christ comes to us in bread and cup. Yes, they remain always bread and cup, but by our faith in our lives, as we respond to God's grace, we come forward in unworthiness to hear a whisper of forgiveness as we take God into the center of our lives, that we might be recreated, reborn, nourished as God's people. In this simple act that we repeat every month, we rise, we respond, we seek to be filled and fulfilled and in faith, we find our hearts strangely warmed by the presence of God. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, he saw that the presence of God was indeed there through certain means of grace like Eucharist and encouraged frequent participation so as not to diminish the opportunities and possibilities of meeting God, of opening the door to God's presence. But he didn't see it as some magical mystery meal, despite that the translation of sacrament comes from the Greek word mysterion, holy mystery. Rather, he saw that our faith mysteriously transforms the meal into the real presence of God within our lives, which we take in, from which we are nourished to face all that we will face in the week ahead. And that's something that we have to chew on a little bit. It has been noted that I can be a little generous when I part out Eucharist. And there's a practical and theological reason for that. The practical being that we don't need to have our fingers go into the cup as well. Theological because there is something big and significant and rich that we're doing. And we need to chew on that a little bit. The formula that Paul gave us is not one just for the table and just for the ritual, but it's an expression and extension of that new commandment from the Gospel of John, the door of presence which can open God to us, us to God, and God to others through us. And that comes down to hearing what was done for us in Christ and asking ourselves whether the same offering, the same place at our tables is set and offered for others. We come here as we explore God's presence and ponder through this shared worship that has within it a table to which all are invited to come. At this meal that we celebrate monthly, we proclaim that all are equal and all are nourished in the Word. All are nourished by that grace. Thirst is quenched in the acceptance as Christ ensures that no empty place is left around the table. As Christ said, "Do this in remembrance," we do. And so we start here. Starts here. Maybe it's not quite at our tables yet at home or in our lives, in the full complement of our lives, but it starts here. Starts here as we're invited to the table, almost with a challenge of not measuring each other into categories of less and more, but an offering equally to all. Starts here with renewal and rejuvenation in the shower of God's word, of praise and prayer, of song and thanksgiving. It starts here with the healing of the woes of life, healing the gap that has grown between us and God, healing through our fellowship, healing in offering a place to worship, a place of acceptance, a place of family, a place of presence. Is the table set in our own lives for all of that? This formula from Paul is not just about a moment that Jesus told us to repeat, but a pattern which is to be the new order. And if we're to be the body of Christ, if we claim Christ as Lord, then we must live by this new commandment to open the door of God's presence to others, to clothe, to feed, to heal, to nourish, to forgive, to assure. And so we come this morning. We come hearing that challenge as we also at the same time give thanks to God for the abundant blessings in our life. For food and shelter. For clothing and care. For choir and prayer. For the great thanksgiving of food and the table fellowship we will share to acknowledge it. That it can be a taste of the ways that we can open ourselves to God's new order in the presence of Christ. It starts here, and let it be a beginning of a response which will encompass all of our life, extending over and again an invitation to all those in need and to all needs through our radical hospitality as we live and embody the gospel of love. But let it also be a celebration. A celebration of how far we have already come. A celebration that we are ready for Christ to be present to us, to be shared with us. We celebrate all that we have and all that we are thankful for. We also take that sustenance in to nourish us for how much further we have yet to go, and how much work there is yet to do. To allow the door of the very presence of God to stand open to all. This is what Christianity is primarily about. What Jesus has set us free for, not what Jesus has set us free from. The obstacles are removed in the presence of Christ so that we can approach God with confidence and live the life of love and joy and peace that we were created for. Today is a start, a new beginning for all of us and continued growth for us as we seek to make connections and offer opportunities in faith, love, and service. Let us prepare the way for the Lord through the proclamation of our lives of the new order that we find in Christ. He who is the bread of life gave himself to us, so we as the embodiment of that bread could be bread for the world. "Do this in remembrance of me," he said. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Let us pray. Lord, as we gather around this wonderful meal everywhere and in every place, bless us all your children. As we eat this bread and drink this cup, linking arms around the world, pour your grace into us all. Grace us with your presence as we quietly and loudly pray to you. May we see in each other your light, your love, your presence. May it not matter our differences, our names, our languages, our looks, and our way of doing things. May what matters today and every day be that we are one in you. And as we pray, many we call to mind our brothers and sisters who are unable to be with us today, whether in body or spirit. May you bring comfort to those who are grieving, lonely, heartbroken, ill, or broken of spirit. May you strengthen those whose lives feel shattered, don't make sense, in crisis, and experiencing loss. May you say the healing word to those who need it. May you bring the human touch of love to those who have not been touched. May you love the unloved through us. May you shine your light into those whose world is covered in darkness. May you use us to feed the hungry, clothe the ones who need clothes, give a cup of water to those who are thirsty, shelter the homeless, visit the sick and those in prison. May lives be awakened to you, Lord, to your love and to your kingdom, whose door is always open to all. Amen.